Well, y'all, for several weeks now, I've been preaching, and I pray that we've all been learning how a person who claims to have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior becomes a disciple. It is absolutely imperative that you not be misled into thinking that you have been saved to warm your pew. Somebody say amen. Amen. Friend, you, by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, have been saved to serve the Lord. Think of it. The reason that God didn't take you on to heaven when you were saved is because he wants you to become a disciple of his son, Jesus Christ. And a very large part of becoming a disciple is learning to make disciples. If we're not making disciples, that means we're failing as disciples. Somebody say amen. That's why we have been laser focused on fulfilling our God-given purpose of making disciples. Now, perhaps the greatest reason for our failure from time to time is this constant temptation to live in a self-centered way. I read an article entitled, 9 Ways to Get Your Way More Often. Now, what's an article like that all about? It's all about teaching people to be self-centered. See, self-centeredness is the way of the world. Self-centeredness is the way of most people, if we're honest. But listen to me carefully. It should not be for the disciple of Jesus Christ. Self-centeredness should not be the way of life for the disciple of Jesus. Think of it. Jesus didn't live for himself, did he? No, all his life he lived for others, even when it came to the end, and he gave his life for others. His whole life revolved around ministering and helping others. So as his followers, I want me and you to start thinking more like Jesus. I want us to start thinking more of others and less of self. Can I tell you, friend, you and I have something very great to offer. Think of it. The good news is good. Because if a person comes to believe in Jesus Christ and they trust him and they surrender to him, guess what? Someday, they're going to get to go to heaven. Someday, they're going to get to go to heaven, and it don't get no gooder than that. Somebody say amen. Today, in Psalm 126 of all places, the Bible gives us great insight into what it's going to take to make disciples. So if you'll go with me to Psalm 126, I'm going to share with you, it's a very short song, actually, but Psalm 126 is loaded with gospel truth, actually. In verse 1 of Psalm 126, the Bible says, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. I dream that the whole world would be saved." Verse 2. "Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Mercy. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again. I did it again. Shall doubtless. Shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The first insight that I want to share with you that comes from that psalm about making disciples is the going of the disciple. My brother Eric lives down in South Georgia, and Eric has two stuffed largemouth bass mounted on his man cave wall. One of them is an 8-pounder that he caught in the Flint River. The other one is an 11-pounder that he caught in Crystal Lake. But every time I see Eric and I see those fish, I always ask him, what store did you buy those from? And Eric is always swift to tell me that he went and he caught them. He went after them. He caught them. They didn't come to him. It's the same with people who don't know Jesus as their Savior. Most times, they're not going to come here to us. We have to go after them. Verse 6 says, he who continually goes, that speaks to the going of the servant of God. The going, see, is the starting block for making disciples of Christ. Luke 19 and verse 10, the Lord Jesus himself said that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you see what he said there? He said, the seeking comes before the saving. The seeking comes before the saving. Preacher John Wesley once said that the church must go to the lost or risk becoming extinct. Any church that becomes satisfied with things as they are is on their way to the cemetery. In other words, if we don't go, we're goners. If we want them coming down the aisle, we're going to have to go down the street. We got to go because they are not going to come seeking in most cases. We need to go seeking after them. So if we're going to make disciples in Christ, you and I have got to learn to go. But in addition to that, to make disciples of Christ, we also need to learn to share the truth of Jesus Christ. So what is the basic formula for making disciples? Can I offer you three simple steps? One, something you do almost every day. Start a relationship. You've heard it said before that they won't hear what you have to share until they know that you care. You have to create a relationship. Secondly, you've got to begin showing them evidence of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we walk by faith, not sight. But they're not to that point yet, y'all. They're not to that point, so they need to see some Jesus in you. You got to go, and you got to show them some Jesus. Start a relationship. Show them evidence of Jesus Christ, and then ultimately share the truth of Jesus with them. The Bible tells us as disciples that we should always be ready to give a reason for our Christian hope. So, from this point forward, y'all, I'm resolving. I'm resolving that I'm going to become ready, willing, and able to share the truth of Jesus Christ with those that I've made a relationship with and those whom I'm showing evidence of Christ with. So that's a pretty basic formula, isn't it? It's pretty simple. Every one of us can do it. God put every one of us here to seek the lost and then tell them what Jesus can do for them. It's that simple. That's your job. That's your purpose. That's the high calling of the disciple of Christ. Lost sinners are not commanded to come to church on Sunday. But disciples are called to go to the lost every day. Every day. He who continually goes. But making disciples is not only the going of the disciple, it also requires the flowing of tears. Did you notice there in verse 6 where the Bible says, he who continually goes forth weeping. Weeping. One husband asked his wife, why do you always sniffle and cry at these chick flicks about imaginary stories with people you've never met? She told her husband, for the same reason that you scream and yell when a man you've never met makes a touchdown. See, most of us have cried over something. Most of us have cried over someone. Maybe real, maybe not. Maybe you knew them, maybe you didn't. And we've cried over things like the loss of money. We've cried over the things like the loss of stolen material things, the loss of a job. But y'all listen to me. Have we ever cried over lost people? Have we ever cried over people who are eternally lost? It said that the reason so many churches have dry baptistries is because we have dry eyes. In Matthew chapter 9, the ex-tax collector wrote that Jesus went throughout all the towns and villages teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the multitudes, listen to me carefully, he was moved with compassion. Jesus was moved with compassion on those people who were in such need. When Jesus saw hurting, helpless people, he was moved with compassion for them. What about us? You ever seen one that's helpless? Hopeless? Jobless? Careless? You know, you don't have to go very far to see those kinds of people. When you saw them, and I know you did you really look at them? When you saw them, how did you feel about them? When you saw them, did you look on them with compassion? Did you pray for them? Did you pray with them? When you saw them, did you offer to help them in any way? Friend, what is it going to take? What is it going to take to get us weeping for the eternal souls of men and women, boys and girls? What's it going to take? Friend, if you knew what they were facing without Jesus Christ, you'd cry. somehow, some way, we need to get the compassion of Jesus. Because guess what? Jesus knows what they're facing without him. We need the compassion of Jesus. We need the heart of Jesus for people that will cause us to go and perhaps allow the tears to flow. But there's also seed to sow. Seed for sowing. Verse 6 said, he continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing. You see, farmers who don't sow seed don't get no crop. In other words, if farmers don't sow seed, they don't eat. You know, maybe we'd sow more gospel seed if it was going to cost us our next meal if we didn't. If we expect to reap a harvest of souls, then we have got to sow some gospel seed. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the believers that were scattered preached the word wherever they went. Wherever they went. As the people went, they preached the word. Wherever they went, they shared the word of God. We too should sow gospel seed everywhere we go. Share that seed at work. Share that seed at school. Share that seed at Walmart. Share it at the ball field. Share it at Foodland. Share it at Pizza Hut. Share it at the fish grill. Share it at the football stadium. Share it at the golf course. Share it fishing on the lake. Share it shopping at the mall. Sowing that gospel seed. You see, we should always be talking about Jesus. Pastor Bob Russell wrote an article entitled, Share Your Faith. He said, some people say, well, I'm just not very vocal about my faith. I let my light shine before men. I win them by my lifestyle, which speaks for itself. To which Bob said, that sounds really good. And it never offends anyone. The problem is it seldom works. He said, when was the last time that somebody came up to you and said, I've been watching you, and I'm impressed. Can you tell me how to become a Christian? Never. He wasn't putting down faithful Christian living. Don't get that impression. He's just saying that people become Christians by hearing the gospel seed, by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it too. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing the message. Faith comes by hearing that gospel seed. Yeah, we got to live the faith. But at the same time, you also have to share your faith whenever you're given the opportunity. And can I tell you that you're probably given an opportunity every single day of your life? The problem is we either overlook the opportunity or we neglect the opportunity to sow that gospel seed. Friend, listen to me. If we're serious about sharing the gospel, if we're serious about sowing that gospel seed, God will give you opportunity. But if you're not serious, you might as well forget it. You ain't gonna get no opportunity because you're not serious. Friends, the gospel seed has the power to penetrate hearts, to penetrate minds. And friends, I believe that it has the power to blow sin right out of people's lives. But here's the deal. It don't work unless it's spread around. Nothing grows if the seed's not planted. So let us be sowing that gospel seed, because making disciples of Christ requires the going of the servant. Perhaps the flowing of tears, but most certainly the sowing of the seed. And listen to this. If all those three are true, verse 6 promises us the showing of a harvest. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him, bringing his bundles of harvest with him. So that means the showing of the harvest. You see, if we go and go with compassionate hearts and we sow and sow the gospel seed, God will show and show an incredible harvest. I didn't say it. God's word said it. The showing of the harvest. I heard about one church that reported his annual statistics, their annual statistics. Here's how it went. Said, number of members added by baptism, zero. Number of members added by transfer, zero. Number of members who left, five. Number of members who died, three. The amount of money raised for home missions, zero. The amount of money raised for foreign missions, zero. And at the bottom of that report, they wrote this: pray for us, brethren, that we continue being faithful to the end. Faithful to the end of what? They experienced no growth because they showed no harvest, because they had no faith to go. They had no faith to allow the tears to flow. And they had no faith to sow that gospel seed. But I want to tell you this, friend. As long as you're still breathing, we still have room to grow. We've experienced a lot of growth, but we still have much more room to grow. Somebody say amen. We still got more to go. More is still possible. Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said this: the harvest is truly plentiful. The harvest is truly plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray. Somebody say pray. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest field. Did y'all hear that verse? Jesus himself said that the harvest of souls is plentiful. The harvest is everywhere. Think of it. You don't even need to pray for it. It's already there. It's there. It's ready to be harvested. We just need to be faithful in the going. Maybe in the flowing. But certainly in the sowing. Friends, listen, as we get older, our vision should improve. That's right, I said it. As a man who wears glasses. But here's what I'm talking about. My eye vision may dim, but our faith vision should become more and more acute the more mature in Christ we become. How's your faith vision? How is your faith vision? Friend, time slips away. Days pass away. Years fade away. And then all of a sudden, life ends. Will you have made any disciples? Friend, what we have been called to do, we must do while there's still time. Jesus could come back today. The end of time could be today. Your life could end today. What we are called to do must be done while there's still time. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. The seeking came before the saving. He didn't mess around, and neither should we. Friend, if we are willing to go and start relationships, show evidence of Christ, and share the truth of Jesus? If we're willing to let the tears flow, I mean, if you knew what lost people were facing, we'd all be bawling our eyes out right now. If we're willing to sow seeds of hope, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're willing to sow, on your way out this morning, I'm going to be giving you each one of these gospel cards. And all it is, it's five verses of Scripture that you can use as gospel seed. It's not intended for you to just give it to somebody and move on. It's intended for you to create a relationship, show people evidence of Jesus Christ in your own life, and then for you to know what these verses of Scripture are and what they mean. Just a beginning, mind you, to increase your faith vision. To make your faith vision more acute as you mature in Jesus Christ. See, if we're willing to become true disciples of Christ, to do these things, God promises a great harvest. We shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. Friend, have you become a disciple of Jesus Christ? Have you received the glorious benefit of a loving relationship and an intimate fellowship with God like you've never known? Jesus invites you to that today. He invites you into that relationship with His Father today. But you can only do it through Him. If you have already come to Christ and you have already accepted heaven as your home, you have already accepted Jesus as your master, I need for you to understand something very clearly. To be a disciple, you must be willing to learn to make disciples. But you can't make a disciple until you've become one. We're getting ready to go into what we call a decision time. Because every time that the Word of God is taught, preached, or even read, it always should allow time for a decision. Maybe the Lord's been speaking to you about how you might be serving here in this church family. Maybe God has been speaking to you about coming into a relationship with our Maker through Jesus Christ, His Son. The point is this. Whatever decision you need to make, you can make it today while there's still time. While there's still time. So are you ready? Are you ready for the adventure of a lifetime? Are you ready to be used by Almighty God to impact and influence everybody you know, everybody you bump into? Are you ready to affect this perverse and crooked generation we're living in? Friend, we are all called to follow our Master's lead. To seek and to save that was lost. We're to do the seeking, He'll do the saving. Somebody say amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, it is amazing that you want to include us in this glorious mission here on earth. Father, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus today that, Father, if there's a decision to be made, whether it is for ministry or whether it's to come into a relationship with you through Jesus Christ, Father, that today would be their day. Lord, let us all resolve that we are going to grow deeper in our relationship with you, deeper in our fellowship with you, and that, Father, we're going to come as we are, knowing that if we'll do the seeking, you'll do the saving. And, Father, I pray today for every decision that will be made. Some of them will be verbal. Some of them, other people will know. Perhaps many decisions will just be between us and you. But whatever it is, Lord, you use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said,
amen.